And welcome back in Morning Drive on this Wednesday, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are broadcasting live from Kitchen Notes inside of the Omni Nashville Hotel. Nick Braden, D-Mace, and Chase, 615-737-1025 is the telephone number if you want to get involved in the show. A lot of NFL free agency news. We will hit on that coming up in about 15 minutes with a little segment we call Love It, Like It, or Loathe It. That's coming up with Chase and the whole crew. But right now, fellas, did the Titans make themselves the AFC South favorites? Derek, this is something that Braden and I kicked around in the first half of the program. Looking at it right now with what Jacksonville has done, what Houston has done, the Colts are the Colts, and the Titans obviously were busy yesterday afternoon. Do we think our team in Nashville right now is the Southern Division favorites?
They're tied with Houston for number two. If Houston has a healthy Deshaun Watson, what they have on defense, as long as J.J. Watt comes back and Merciless comes back fully healthy, then, you know, they've lost Jonathan Joseph. I know he's a free agent, but he was long in the tooth, so to speak. Still an okay corner, but they needed to upgrade that position, which they did. But if you're asking whether the Titans have put themselves in a position to be the number one team in the AFC South, I think they're making strides, but I don't think they're the best team in the AFC South. So I think, you know, they're tied with Houston for that title of number two behind Jacksonville. I just think Jacksonville, they are, at least from a defensive standpoint, they are head and shoulders above the Titans. They're ahead, you know, they're even better than Houston. They are the best defensive team in the National Football League. If you look at, you know, what they have done, what they have put together, you know, roster wise, it's unbelievable. And it's taken some time, but they've done a good job.
A lot of first round picks.
Yeah. I mean, Calais Campbell is the best defensive end in the National Football League. You can argue that. Miles Jack is
would have been a first round pick.
Would have been a first round pick, but he's turned into a awesome player. Obviously, Jalen Ramsey has proven that he's one of the top two, three corners.
Talks AJ, almost as much as Jalen Rose does.
AJ Boye, he's a shut down corner. So Malik Jackson is playing well. So if you look at what Jacksonville's been able to do. Taj Gibson is playing well at the safety position. If you look at what they've done defensive-wise, no team in the NFL matches. So I think that's what puts them not an inch above the Titans. It puts them legitimately at the number one spot because it always goes back to their defense travels. And if Mariota – here's the thing. If Mariota had to play the way Blake Bortles played last year, we would have been screaming, oh, he's doing a great job. He's made the progress. He's our franchise quarterback. But because it's Blake Bortles, people are still like, he's okay. No, Blake Bortles, he's finally bought in to what that coaching staff and the president wants him to do. Do not make any mistakes. We've got playmakers around you. Just get them the ball. He's bought into that now. So if he continues on that on this path, then they are clearly the best team in the South, and they might just be the best team in AFC.
Oh,
so right. Behind the wing.
We got a lot of stuff. So here's what I will say. I agree with you on the defense. I think Jacksonville is clear-cut the best defense in the division. Houston's a close number two. I think the Titans are doing their best to try to play catch-up at that position, and that's – what every expert we've had on this show has told us, they need to add talent and playmaking ability to the defense. And they're starting to do that. Malcolm Butler, of course, and they drafted Dory Jackson. They signed Logan Ryan, Kevin Byard. I think they're going to continue that with an outside pass rusher maybe in the first round, maybe a middle linebacker somewhere along the way as well. But here's the deal. They beat him twice, head-to-head. They beat Jacksonville twice at their game last year. They were only one game back in the division. And I think the difference could be – I think optics, from an optics standpoint, the way they both played against New England is part of why we think they're so much better. That Jacksonville went up there dominated the New England offense, had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter until Tom Brady did Tom Brady things and won the game, whereas the Titans weren't even competitive. So I think that's one example of where it's easy to say Jacksonville is head and shoulders above. The difference for me, though, that could make the Titans the better team is Matt LaFleur and Marcus Mariota. That is where if Matt LaFleur is the guy, he's the savior that he's supposed to be, right? John Robinson and Mike Vrabel have hired him to be the savior.
If he's the quarterback whisperer.
Right. If he is this guy that led Matt Ryan to an MVP season and a Super Bowl, if he is the guy that helped turn around Jared Goff and the Rams from the worst scoring offense to the best scoring offense in the NFL, which has never been done before in NFL history, if all of that's true and Matt LaFleur is the answer, the difference between Jacksonville and Tennessee, because I'm not going to – I'm with you, D-Mace, that Blake Bortles bought into what they wanted him to do, but there's a reason that they don't want him to do anything. there's a reason that his job description is don't screw it up, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, that's his job description, whereas Marcus Mariota's job description could be carry us to a playoff win over Kansas City. And with if, again, this is all saying that Matt LaFleur is the guy that he is hired to be. If that is the case, then I think the difference between Jacksonville and Tennessee is the quarterback position, where the Titans have a significant advantage.
Here's another thing. Obviously, they lost Robinson in free agency, Jacksonville. I think they're going to make a push to because they have to add some depth. I know they re-signed Marquise Lee. He ended up coming back. They got Allen Hurn, who ended up. He got injured, I believe, toward the end of the season. So they have their, I believe, 1 and 2.
Marcus is the Cole Lee, kid going to be around a long time, or is he a flash in the pan?
I don't know. See, he plays good at times. You see flashes from him. He's kind of like Taywan Taylor. You see flashes, but then he just all of a sudden gets lost somehow, some way. But if Jacksonville goes out, they got to replace Robinson. I think they will possibly try to.
Please don't say Jordy Nelson.
Make a run at Jordy Nelson.
Well, then John Robinson's got to play keep away.
I think they try to make a run at Jordy Nelson because
I want
Jordy
here.
Is a good player, and he's a guy when healthy. He's a savvy player. He's a really good route runner. But what he does that the Titans don't have at this point and hadn't been proven is that he is a red zone threat. He can catch the ball in the red. But he is the guy that can catch the ball in the field and go.
Could he help groom Corey Davis? Or is that overstated?
Well,
it's up to Corey. No, it's up to Corey Davis to.
It's up to both of them.
To, you know, he can. And I believe Decker was that for Corey Davis last year. I believe. What you call it from, I forget his name now, from they brought in from Atlanta.
Harry Douglas. He was sort of a coach. He's a coach on the field.
I thought he was a guy that could have helped Corey Davis. But it's up to Corey Davis to go out there and be the guy that they think he can be. Whether they bring in Jordy Nelson, Jerry Rice, you know, I don't know, Michael Irvin, it don't matter. If Corey Davis doesn't want it, you be the player. If he doesn't put in the work to be the player, then he's not going to be it no matter what.
And I'd like to hear what you have to say about this as you were both a young player being mentored by older players or not mentored, and then you were an older player. Mm-hmm. I always go to the famous Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers analogy. Mm-hmm. Brett Favre, and this applies to Pecorine and UC Soros, Brett Favre famously had nothing to do with helping Aaron Rodgers develop. He was like, why would I help you take my job? Now, Pecorine is the opposite. Pecorine, they're obviously from the same country, so they have a bond there, both from Finland. But Pecorine has looked at UC Soros as a friend and as a fellow competitor and helped him along the way, and it's helped Jordy. So it's sort of – I think Jordy Nelson, like Harry Douglas, mm-hmm. is got some coach on the field
exactly.
in him. So it's 100% up to Corey Davis to decide, I'm going to work for this and work for that, and you know, I'm going to get better at this, I'm going to grind at this, I'm going to learn about this. But if you also happen to have that other veteran who's willing to kind of take you under your wing and help mold you and shape you and teach you a little bit, then it's a win-win for everybody. And I think Jordy's at the point in his career at 31 years old, probably has one more contract in him, that he's kind of like, I want to be on a winner. He's already been a Super Bowl champion. But if he comes in like Harry Douglas, I think if the two of them get along, I think that could be a great relationship for Corey Davis, like the UC Soros. But sometimes, as we've seen with Brett Favre, sometimes the older guy just has no desire. So I don't know if you were Did you have guys around you that were like, I'm never going to help you?
It was totally different. It was kind of like the Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers situation where, y'all coming in to take my job, so we're not going to. And honestly, that's the way it was. And
when you were young, though, yeah, did you have a guy that helped you?
No, I didn't. My first 2 or 3 years, no, I didn't. Now, eventually, I had, people like Chris that would, he and I would talk because he and I became friends. So he and I would talk. But at the beginning, no, it was just myself, Joey Ken, and Kevin Dyson. And we learned from each other. And that made me think that, once I become a veteran guy, whatever those young guys needed, I gave it to them. So whether it was Drew, Justin McCarron, Mark Clayton in Baltimore.
Tyrone Calico.
Yeah, Tyrone Calico. It was, I'm going to give you everything that I know I'm going to pour into you as much as I possibly can, because me pouring to you is going to make me better. I know eventually they're going to try to replace me, but I would say I'm going to make it hell for you to replace me each and every year.
615-737-1025 is the number. When we come back, love it, like it, or loathe it. Stay right there. It's Morning Drive. We're broadcasting live from Kitchen Notes inside the Omni Nashville Hotel right here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Great to have you in on this Wednesday as we broadcast live from Kitchen Notes inside of the Omni Nashville Hotel. Willie Donick going to join us in about 15 minutes. But
Smartest cook staff in the business. Kitchen Notes guys in here breaking down the Malcolm Butler signing with us.
Oh, that was what was going on?
He was scared, though, for a second. He was like, man.
Where's Adoree going to play?
Are they moving Adoree to offense? I'm like, nah. He was like, oh, okay, I was making sure.
That's because we know that the staff here at Kitchen Notes, the wonderful, amazing staff at Kitchen Notes, they listen to the best sports talk in Nashville.
Absolutely.
Exactly right. All the NFL free agent signings, left and right, yesterday, today. It's time for a little game of love it, like it, or loathe it. Chase McCabe, I will bring you in and tell us how we go about our business.
Sorry, I want to make things official there.
Oh, yeah.
No.
This is a presentation of the National Football League. all right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to make this very fast. I'm going to throw out some names. I'll have terms on some of these names, but all three of you just tell me whether you love it, like it, or loathe it. And also,
any redissemination of this information will be penalty by without
express written consent.
Without express written consent. Okay, gotcha.
Roger Goodell will come to your house and find you. And also,
no analysis, right? Just love it, like it, or loathe it.
Quick hit. And also, I have updated my free agency wish list at Chase on Game on Twitter because, I hit two yesterday, two big ones. So
yeah, you know what? I think the Titans tipped you off. I think they gave you their plans just to make you look good.
Do you have sources?
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
Keep them coming, Chase. Keep them coming.
All right, let's start things off with the Arizona Cardinals. And again, free agency officially opens today at 3, so these are all confirmed rumors, essentially. They reportedly will sign Sam Bradford, the quarterback, to a one-year $20 million deal.
Don't love it, like it. When he's on the field, he's spectacular. But he costs a lot of money, but you got to overpay for quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I will go with loathe it. The guy just cannot stay healthy.
I'm with you, Nick. Loathe it. But he's stealing.
There you go.
Good player when he's on the field.
The Chicago Bears signing wide receiver Allen Robinson to a 3-year deal.
I like it.
I like it as well. I kind of wanted them here in Tennessee, but you know what? The Bears got him. I like it.
I like it because the Green Bay Packers opponent overpaid for a mediocre and always hurt wide receiver.
Like it, love it, loathe it here on Morning Drive. This one coming out just a few minutes ago, the Browns needed a running back, and apparently they're going to get Carlos Hyde 3 years, $15
million. Love it, love it, love it. They don't have to overpay for him. Love it.
I like it. I think he's better than Isaiah Crowell, but I feel like Hyde is still somewhat of a mystery. I can't figure this guy out.
I think he's a pretty good player. What does this mean for Saquon Barkley 1 or 4 to the Browns? So I like it. I don't loathe it or love it, but I like it.
still take Saquon.
Sticking with the Browns, they will also sign offensive tackle Chris Hubbard to a 5-year, $37.5 million deal.
I like it. They got to upgrade, you know, that offensive line. You go and get your running back. Possibly you're going to draft either a quarterback or running back with those first
gotta
four
picks.
Got to
protect your guy.
So you got to protect your guy and you got to run the ball. So I like it.
I'm always honest with you guys. I've never heard of Chris Hubbard. So I'm just going to flat out tell you, I don't know anything about him.
I'm sort of in the same boat as you. I don't know enough to like, love, or loathe. But if you're going to draft a quarterback with the first or fourth overall pick, you better protect your asset.
Protect your assets. Yeah, that's right. Going to the New York Jets. A name we are all very familiar with. Avery Williamson, linebacker, 3 years, $22.5 million.
I like it. He's a solid player. You know, I like it for the Jets. I like it for him. He deserves it.
Got to replace David Harris. I like it.
I love it for Avery Williamson on a personal level. Mm-hmm. Again, I got to know the guy last year. I love seeing him do well. I am glad the and I love it because the Titans didn't spend that money on him.
Sticking with the Jets, they are bringing back quarterback Josh McCown.
You know what? He's, 39 years old, and he had a decent year last year, considering he's old. You know, I like it.
I like it. It's the Jets. They do Jet moves, so there you go.
Well, you want a fun exercise? Go back and look at the draft class that Josh McCown came out of. I'll give you some names on that list, but, like, the fact that he's the one that's still playing is pretty ridiculous.
Would you guys have considered him as a backup here?
Absolutely.
Of course. He could be a backup.
He put up really good numbers last year.
Yeah.
Like fantasy, legit fantasy numbers.
I had him on my team.
Yeah.
The Jets basically got two guys that I would have considered as a backup. The other one being Teddy Bridgewater reportedly will sign a 1-year deal with New York.
Like it could very well be the stopgap until they draft somebody.
I like it. You know, Teddy, when he was playing, he did a good job. Now he gets to compete, even though they gave McCown that money. He still gets to compete for a starting job. So I like it for Teddy.
I love it for the Jets. I think it's a great backup if a 39-year-old gets hurt. So I like Teddy Bridgewater. We all talked about it. I wanted him here. So I love it for them. I think Teddy deserves a crack at it.
The Houston Texans reportedly will sign cornerback Aaron Colvin to a 4-year deal.
Feel like they overpaid a little bit, but I like it.
They needed another corner, so I like it. Colvin was a pretty good corner. He was at Jacksonville, yeah. And Jacksonville had the best secondary in the National Football League. So,
if I'm a Texans fan, I loathe it because I think it's a lot of money for an average player. As a fan of a team in the division, you like seeing other teams in your division overpay.
Moving right along, we go to Braden's Green Bay Packers tight end Jimmy Graham, a reported $30 million deal.
I love it. Now Jimmy gets to be on the team where he will get the ball, so you will see Jimmy Graham numbers once again. I know the Lions hate it and the Bears hate it.
Oh,
but Aaron
shucks.
Rodgers love it.
Yeah, I love it as a Packers fan, for
you
sure.
You love it?
I not as much as Muhammad Wilkerson, but uh-huh. But I like having a red zone elite level tight end. Aaron Rodgers has never had one.
Yeah.
Never had a great tight end.
I loathe it. I think if you're going, it's a different position than Jordy Nelson, but if you're talking about injured players, so you're going to bring in Jimmy Graham, who I think is soft as souffle, but you get rid of Jordy Nelson on a team that can't find receivers getting open other than Devontae Adams. I don't like it.
But is it like a lamb souffle where it's like a really tough meat that you've got to like
exactly.
braise for long periods of time?
Has it been sitting on a table for 3 days?
The bottom line, he doesn't play true tight end. He plays split out, so you're not asking him to run block. But Rodgers will make everybody great. So I Jordy Nelson was done. You couldn't re-sign him. You couldn't afford him. Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb, they've got lots of people that can catch passes. Now you've got a tight end for the first time in Aaron Rodgers' career. I'm excited to see it. Again, like everybody, he was overpaid.
Yeah.
Like everybody. And they need defensive help more than anything. But There were no weapons around him last year. Once Aaron got hurt, there was nothing there. So
you think Jimmy Graham still has it in the tank? It was just he didn't fit with Russell Wilson.
They never threw it to him. Yeah, they never threw it to him. That was the beginning. If you want to point to the beginning of the end for the Seattle Seahawks, it was the Russell. It was the
Graham for Unger?
The Max Unger trade where they got rid of. They had one of the best offensive lines in the NFL, and the beginning of the end for the Seattle dynasty was that trade because Jimmy Graham just doesn't fit the system.
That's a good point.
And they gave away an offensive lineman that – what's their biggest weakness in the last two years?
Offensive line.
All right, got a few more here that we will run through. The Broncos look like they're going to get a quarterback finally, and it will be Case Keenum.
Like it. Much better than Trevor Siemian and Paxton Lynch, but I don't think he has the year he had last year.
I like it a lot. Not love it, but like it a lot. They finally got them a quarterback – that can go out there and that can play. He's a gritty player. I love his attitude. I love the way he played the game in Case Keenum. Now, you know, does their defense take a hit because of the guys that they've lost?
I'm going to go loathe because as much as I hate Paxton Lynch as a player, I just don't think he's a very good football player. And I've made that very clear on my show for a year and a half now. I don't think Case Keenum is a huge upgrade on Trevor Siemian. I just don't. I think they are very similar players that give you very similar things. I'm not sure he's a big upgrade, and you're going to pay huge upgrade money for that. As a Titans fan, I'm okay with Case Keenum. Like, I'm glad Cousins is in the NFC, and I'm glad Case Keenum came to the AFC. You know what I mean? Like, if Denver had Kirk Cousins, I'd be scared of Denver as a real legitimate playoff contender. Case Keenum doesn't scare me if I'm a Titans fan.
Remember that part where we said no analysis?
I was waiting for Chase to say that, I swear to God.
The Redskins,
where have you been the last 12 players?
Sorry. The Redskins, Paul Richardson, wide receiver, 5 years, $40
million. Overpaid.
Loathe it. Typical overpaid. Dan Snyder.
Yeah, overpaid.
Way overpaid, but I guess I'm not allowed to say that because that'd be analysis. What else do we do here on the show?
The 49ers, Jerick McKinnon, running back, 4 years, $30 million.
Like it.
I actually love it.
It's a lot of money.
But it's a lot of money, but I like it.
I think he fits perfectly with what Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan, they all are going to do. I totally agree with you guys. Love this signing. I think he's going to have a great year for the Niners. Fantasy people, watch out. Little sleeper running back there.
And finally, Kirk Cousins to the Vikings.
Love it.
Love it. I've got the Minnesota Vikings going to the Super Bowl.
He's a Sparty. So I love it. He deserves to get a long-term deal. Well, it's only, what, 3 years?
Oh, yeah. He's betting on himself again.
Yeah. So I love it. He's a good
fully guaranteed.
What is it, $87 million for
fully
3 years?
Fully guaranteed.
As a Packers fan, have at it, Minnesota. Kirk Cousins, for whatever reason, is – I'm not blaming the Washington situation is on Washington. That's a weird front office, but – I just don't think – Kirk Cousins has a losing record as a starting quarterback.
He needed more people
just
around
doesn't,
him.
Just doesn't
the
scare me.
Around him,
the Vikings team is unbelievable, but Cousins just doesn't scare me. So
they will be in the Super Bowl like
it's
Nick
a lot is. Of money. A lot of money.
All right, coming up next, we'll be joined by Willie Donick. Do we love Willie? Do we like Willie? Or do we loathe Willie?
We loathe Willie. No.
We love Willie.
Willie Donick, Preds TV play-by-play man and co-host of Darren and Donick. Coming up next, I promise, you'll love it. That's right, Morning Drive rolling along. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Great to have you in on this Wednesday as we're broadcasting live from Kitchen Notes inside of the Omni Nashville Hotel. If you are coming to Nashville and you don't stay at the Omni Nashville, you are doing it all wrong. I promise you that. Next up is a man who's always doing it right. We welcome in Willie Donick, Preds TV play-by-play man, and, of course, co-host of Darren and Donick here on The Game. Good morning, Willie. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I would say I am always doing it right when I'm at the Omni, so I'll tie those two things together. I don't know if I'm always doing it right.
Exactly right. Well, speaking of doing it right, the Preds did it right last night, and they just buried Winnipeg in a 10-11-minute stretch of hockey where, and I think you really said this perfectly, I've never seen 20 shots on goal in a half of a period. Just how impressed were you last night by that exhibition?
That was a tremendous job, I thought, being ready to play from the opening faceoff, taking advantage of a team that had played the night before and was trying to deal with some adversity. They lost one of their best players in the warm-up, Paul Stastny, so they didn't let the Jets ease into the game. They took it right to them. the 20 shots in 11 minutes, we had our statisticians check. That's the quickest anybody's gotten to 20 shots since the 2011-2012 season. So we're going back, what, six, seven seasons since anybody's done that. So just a barrage, and it was enough because the Jets, to their credit, did battle back and hang in there. And, you know, that game was still not over throughout the third period. Pecorine then took over.
Now, Willie, looking at what the Preds were able to do, and I said this yesterday, what they proved to me last night, not that they, you know, that they won and they beat a shorthanded Winnipeg Jets, it was the way that they did it in the first period. After two periods, they had 51 shot attempts to 39, they had 35 shots to 18, and they had 14 scoring chances to 8. Now, the power play, you know, they were 0 for 3 at that point, and so was the Winnipeg Jets. But if you look at the Nashville Predators, last night what they proved to me is that they are a team that is on a mission. They are a team that is playing at a championship caliber. They understand that, you know, in order for us to be considered one of the best teams, we have to take advantages. We have to take advantage of teams when they're shorthanded. We can't give a team like Winnipeg, because you know how it is. You know, if a team is missing a few guys, the team that's much better is going to come out, and they might play a little bit slow because they're figuring their mind, you know what, we're going to win anyway. But the Predators didn't do that. The first period, they came out and they scored three goals. That showed me that this is a team that's on a mission.
I think you're right. I think I've seen a lot of times, you could find a lot of examples of a team that comes in and their backup goalie's playing, they're missing a couple of key pieces, and you say, well, this one's going to be easy. And the next thing you know, you're down 1-0, you're down 2-0, and you end up fighting your way, and you let an opportunity slip away. I think that is a good point, Derek. They were ready to go from the beginning, and I think they were basically saying, this game is so gigantic for the division race. If we get this, it's going to be really tough for the Jets to catch them. So they did the job, and I'm sure they would have liked to have maybe just stretched it out, put it away, but you know, the Jets are a good team, and I do think they'll be back. They'll start getting healthier, and this is not the last we've heard from them. So, I mean, that's a really good team over there that the Predators beat.
Willie, is Austin Watson a great hockey player, or is he the greatest hockey player of all time?
I'll tell you what, you know, I always go back to this point because he was a first-round pick that spent, I don't know, three full seasons, maybe more, maybe parts of four, in Milwaukee. And you were starting to wonder, is this guy even going to be a regular NHL player? But to his credit, he just stayed after it. And don't ever forget that he did not make the opening day roster last year. He was sent to Milwaukee. He was waived. So anybody could have grabbed him off of waivers, and he could have been on another NHL roster. He went to Milwaukee. He didn't have a bad attitude. He basically made an adjustment down there, and I think it was more mental that, you know what, I'm not going to go out there and play safe. I'm not going to go out there and worry that something bad is going to happen. I'm going to go make something happen. And it seemed like instantly when he came back up, he was a different player, and he's really never been out of the lineup since, and he just keeps getting better. Four shorthanded goals now, 12 goals on the year, and he just makes big plays.
Talking to Willie Donick, who joins us here on Morning Drive, brought to you by Park & Fly, who would like to invite travelers to Park & Fly for their vacation. They have indoor valet and outdoor self-parking. Rates start at just $9 per day. Willie, a couple of road games coming up Thursday and Friday out west. What are you looking for? What is the biggest concern, if there is, in fact,
Why can't they beat Arizona, Willie? Explain this to me.
Well, Arizona, ever since they beat the Predators in overtime, take a look at their record. Now, they had an absolutely atrocious start. I think they won 9 of the first, I don't know, 40 games or something like that. Maybe half a season. But since then, they've played really, really well. For example, last night, they beat the Kings. The Kings absolutely have to win these days. They're a desperate team. I'm sure everybody in Los Angeles is saying, how can you not beat Arizona? How does that happen? So Arizona, just like everybody in the league, they're a salary. I mean, everybody has the same salary cap. So nobody is that worse than everybody else. It has been a really tough place for the Predators to win. I have no idea why that is. But I can tell you this, it's going to be a tough game tomorrow night. Don't think the Predators are just going to roll in there and score, you know, score 5 or 6 goals and win 5-1. That's going to be a battle tomorrow night.
Willie, we saw Chris Mason step in between the pipes yesterday morning for the morning skate. Did he have the intensity and the energy in the broadcast, or was he a little fatigued from his little workout yesterday?
I think he was feeding off the adrenaline in the broadcast last night. I think he was pumped up. He was sky high. It was so much fun to watch him do that. He was so excited. We were in our production meeting yesterday. He got a call from Ben Vanderklok, the goaltending coach, and he said, "Big guy, we need you. We need a second goalie. Pekka's going to take the morning off. We need a second goalie in the practice." You would have thought it was Superman getting the call from whoever, you know, the danger signal. You know, the bat phone went off, and it was Commissioner Gordon for Batman. He sprung out of that meeting, sprinted down to the locker room to get the gear on, just like he was putting a superhero costume on. Now, the key, guys, is going to be today. I think he's going to be dragging a little bit today. I'm just glad we don't have back-to-back, because I think he would have been fatigued in the broadcast tonight.
Willie, great stuff as always. We appreciate it. Have a good broadcast, and we will talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
You got it. Willie Donig joining us here on Morning Drive, and now is your opportunity to win a Park and Fly 3-day pass and qualify for a chance to win tickets to an upcoming Preds game. All you have to do is be caller number 3 right now at 615-737-1025. Caller 3, 615-737-1025. You'll get a 3-day parking pass and qualify for a chance to win tickets to an upcoming Preds game. You know, I was thinking with Mace jumping in goalie yesterday, I would love to do that as a show.
Uh-huh.
Put us in full goalie attire, and for 60 seconds,
I want to shoot pucks on you.
Each of us has to take shots, not from us, but from the Preds.
Can we put double pads on?
I don't think you understand that.
Yeah, I don't think you want to take a shot from the Pred.
This is how I'm going to go out.
How about this? I'll shoot pucks on you, and then you could survive.
If
you double pad me, I do it.
If Ryan Ellis slap shot catches you in the neck, you will die.
Here's what I want.
Just give me a mask thing to come out.
Okay, here's what I want. Like, I want full gear. I want the full
attire.
They
call it the silencer for a reason.
What would you say is the deepest you've seen a shot fired in the NHL?
PK Subban shoots from his own goal line all the time.
I want to go in net, full gear, and I want PK to fire one full ice at me.
Shea Weber shot one from the upper deck at Bridgestone Arena and made it.
It's a true story.
Oh, wow.
It's true.
But I think you could have stopped it if you were in full pads.
Yeah.
You have a lot of time to react.
Can we just do this?
If you double pad my neck, I do it.
Put Nick in full goalie gear and then you two take shots on him and I'm just going to run him?
Yeah.
Oh, you can Austin Watson?
I'm just going to run him.
Just bulldoze the – it'll be 2 minutes interference on Chase McCabe.
That's fine. I'll take the two.
No kidding. It'd be totally worth it.
Coming up next, we stick to sports on Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Oh, a little flow rider on Wednesday. I like it. Welcome back. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We will speak to Joe Rexroad, columnist from the Tennessean, coming up in about 15 minutes. But right now, every day, you guys know the drill. We stick to sports.
Let's see how smart the guys really are. No funny business. Stick to sports. Now on Morning Drive.
Yes, let's run through these as we wrap up the 8 o'clock hour. I am going to kick things off. Yes,
basically,
run
Chase
through.
Just said no analysis.
Yeah, basically. looking at all three of you. All right, here we go. So Kermit Davis reportedly will head to Ole Miss. Jeff Goodman from ESPN putting that out. We had some reports of that on Monday as well, but it looks like it will become official with an announcement later in the week. So now the Blue Raiders have to figure out what's next. Do you guys have some options for the next head coach at Middle Tennessee?
Yeah, I've got two names. I got two words for you. Rick Pitino.
Don't go that route. Don't go that route.
Nick, you are disqualified for the rest of Stick to Sports.
Just mute me.
Chase, are you asking us like who was good at like Lehigh this year? Like, because that's who MTSU would be targeting. So,
to me, whoever they get, Kermit has left this program in a good position.
Lehigh is coached by Brett Reed, by the way.
Yeah, they are. You know, people know them nationally. They've got some good recruits that are coming in next year if they don't leave because Kermit's leaving. But I think he's left his program in good hands. So whoever they choose to hire, they should do good next year.
What about Steve Forbes, who's at ETSU?
You know, Forbes is now there's – I believe his – was he mentioned in the investigation? I would need to double-check on that. I don't want to speak out of turn on that. But he's done an excellent job with that program. There's no question. But the problem with a job like MTSU is that you're not – you know, the rising stars in the coaching industry are the Dan Hurleys at Rhode Island and, you know, those types of guys. And those types of guys are looking to go where Kermit's going, which is to Power 5 jobs. So
would somebody like Dana harder. Ford take a job like that? And I know Dana's – his name hasn't been out there, but I'm just saying somebody like that that is at a TSU.
That's an interesting – I think you're right on sort of the range of where you need to target. If you're MTSU, look at a job like Dana Ford and TSU and where he's done that. And, I think that's the category of guy that you're looking at. And – you just got to do your diligence and find the right guy. Like, you're not going to get Randy Bennett from St. Mary's. Uh-huh. Like, he's got a better job at St. Mary's. I mean, Mark Schmidt at St. Bonaventure, he's got a better job at St. Bonaventure. So it's, you know, Eric Musselman is a great name that's rising up the list right now at Nevada. He's going to get a job at a Pac-12 school. Like, you're targeting the lower level, so it's much harder to pinpoint those guys.
Number two.
I'm like a fine wine. I get better with age. That is LeBron James last night. And sounds like something that D-Mace would say after he got his 14th triple-double of the season, which is a new career high. Do you guys agree with his statement there?
Think about that. He's in his, his 15th year?
He's 33.
And he's played like four like four seasons worth of playoff games.
And he's put up his most triple doubles in his career in his 15th season. He's like a great Cabernet from 2006. You just got to pop it and it tastes delicious.
I still think physically he's not as good as he was like 4 or 5 years ago because it's just hard to be at your peak. Mm-hmm. But I think he gets the game better. He understands the game better. And I think the triple double thing is strictly because of Russell Westbrook last year.
Do we have like 2 hours on this question, because I can go on and on, man.
No,
it's LeGoat, okay? This guy arguably is the best player to ever lace up some shoes. If you want to take out Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, he's the best player. He's better than Michael Jordan.
What?
Better than Michael Jordan.
You're crazy.
So it's
save
all
that
about
hot take
LeGoat.
For July.
6-0.
All about LeGoat.
6-0.
How many times did he miss?
6-0.
Going to the championship game. A lot of times.
No, that's only because the NBA kicked him out of the league for 2 years for gambling.
No, they didn't kick him out.
Nope. Conspiracy theory.
That's he forgot about the years he got beat by the Pistons over and over again.
That wasn't even basketball. That was like...
He was 12 years old when that happened.
That was street ball.
Stick to sports. Number three.
Number three on the list. I know we're going to touch on this a lot tomorrow. But with your brackets filled out, which team do you think has the best chance at causing an upset? Just give me one.
I will go West Virginia.
I was going to say, are you talking sort
first
of
round
which seed
period?
Can make it to the Final Four and really cause havoc, or which double-digit seed gets to the Sweet 16? Those are two different sorts.
I'm just saying
havoc.
Which team can cause a major upset. Like, it can be one game. It doesn't have to be getting to the Sweet 16 or the Final Four. Just what's going to be upset city?
I think if Bucknell beats Michigan State, I think that would be a huge upset.
Well, sure.
And I think
you
that
would be upset.
If every single one seed lost, that would be a huge upset, but it ain't going to happen. Just like Michigan State ain't going to lose to the Bison of Bucknell. I like New Mexico State a lot. They got a big guy down low that can rebound. They got size for a small school, and they're playing Clemson team that's a 5 seed without one of their best players in Dante Grantham. So give me New Mexico State. I like Loyola Chicago a lot. I think that's a really good basketball team, a Missouri Valley champion as an 11 seed.
Charleston will beat Auburn.
That's a really good pick as well. I'm in on that. And then San Diego State – or not San Diego State, South Dakota State has a first-round lottery pick, has a first-round potential lottery pick in the Mon Kid. I think they knock off Ohio State as well. So those are my first-round upsets.
I'll give you one upset. The team that has defeated Middle Tennessee State twice, give me Marshall.
I like that as well.
Over Wichita State.
That's a good one.
Number four.
So with the Preds win last night, they're at 100 points. They have a share of the lead of the NHL with the Tampa Bay Lightning, which means they're in contention for the President's Trophy. I know you guys have had some thoughts on that. A lot of fans have had thoughts on the President's Trophy. Have you guys changed your mind at all on the President's Trophy and the Preds?
No, not really. But if history continues to go the way it has in the trend, I don't want them to win the President's Trophy, because the last team to win the President's Trophy and make it to the Stanley Cup was the Blackhawks, and that was 2011, 12, 13, somewhere around there. But before then, I mean, I don't want them to win it. Get second place and go all the way.
Three President's Trophy winners in the last 20 years have made it to the Stanley Cup Stanley Cup Final, and won it, I believe. Two of them won it. One of them lost it. I don't want it. I want the one seed throughout the Western Conference. Yeah. I want to win the Central Division, hang a banner, and get home ice throughout the entire Western Conference. But I want Tampa with the President's Trophy.
I want a bite of – what do you got there? Look at that. Look at that bite.
Goodness.
That's like three bites right there. Good Lord. All right, sticking to sports, there's only two things I care about, a Stanley Cup trophy and a Vezina for Pekka. Presidents, nope, I don't care. Give me the Vezina and give me Lord Stanley's Cup.
Goat cheese.
I want them all, but moving on.
You want number all, five. All greatest food?
Yes. Speaking of food and speaking of what you guys are eating, because I've been listening to it during breaks and been talking about it, I know you have some biscuits there from Kitchen Notes. What do you like to put on your biscuit?
Honey.
Honey. Yeah,
so
honey,
so the biscuits. Options are go sweet, right? Like like jam, jelly, honey, something in that range. Mm. Sausage gravy all day is probably the best thing on the planet. However, you will die of a heart attack at a very young age.
Yeah.
Give me egg, bacon, and cheese on my biscuit.
Give me some honey.
I try to keep it healthy, so I'll go with what they're serving out there in the kitchen right now. How about the cilantro lime biscuit?
Well, that's not telling – you didn't answer the question. What goes on in the biscuit?
What's cilantro and lime.
No, that's baked into the biscuit.
All right, on it, in it. Yeah, you see, you're getting too analytical here.
No, he asked you – So you would put a slice of lime and a piece of cilantro on your biscuit?
He
squirted
the lime.
I gave you my answer. If that's not good enough for you, then I don't know what to tell you.
I want to clarify. Your answer for what you put on a biscuit –
hey, Chase.
Is lime juice
and a piece
of cilantro. That's really honestly what you would put on a biscuit.
Stick to sports.
I just want to know. I think you're making it up.
Oh, my goodness. Just give me some honey all day, every day.
We call BS.
Give me some honey all day, every day, with a little cilantro and a little lime.
I get no respect
it's
on this show.
You didn't answer the question.
I gave you my thoughts.
If he want lime and cilantro on his biscuit, well, bye.
That's
have
true.
At it.
No, it's America. It's America, by God.
Damn right.
Good morning, Steve.
You can have
Steve likes cilantro.
You can have tissue on your
I am
biscuit.
Cilantro Steve.
Tissue on your biscuit? What does that mean?
You put a slab piece of tissue on your biscuit and eat it.
My dog.
If that's what
would
you
do
want.
That.
So be it. Have at it.
Love
Steve.
A good dry rub.
There you go.
Yeah, give me a biscuit with dry rub. I'm good to go.
Now we're talking.
All right?
I think that makes sense.
Joe Rexroad's going to come up when we come back.
Was that all of our questions?
Yes.
I need to decompress.
Oh, man. Y'all sick, man.
Morning Drive, Kitchen Notes. We're back after this.